Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Yudalet Amud Dalet. Yudalet Amud Bet, sorry. If you look about 10 and 12 lines from the bottom, it says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Chanina. Nazir shakalu lo yamav, lo ke ala tuma ve'ena lo ke ala tiglachat ve'lo ala yayin. Okay, here you have a Nazir who finishes counting his days, his 30 days, but he doesn't yet do the whole process of tiglachat. I was thinking it's like a woman who doesn't go to the mikvah, right? Like, you're done, but you don't go to the mikvah. So as long as you don't go to the mikvah, you're exactly in the same status. But here, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina distinguishes between, in terms of chiyuv malkot, that obviously everything is forbidden to him, but if he does it, if he's over, he drinks wine, or he cuts his hair, so he doesn't get malkot. He only gets malkot if he's metame lamet. So the Gemara immediately asks, "Maishna tuma delake?" So what's the reason for tuma? Why you only get malkot for tuma? De amar kra kol yimei hiziru l'Hashem. L'rabot yamim she'achar melot k'yamim she'lifnei melot. Because of the word kol, what does it say? Kol all the days of his nizirut, he can't be metame lamet. So therefore, it must include even the days. What would the kol include? Even the extra days. Well, then they say, but wait. Bahama rachmana kol yamei neder nizro ta'ar lo yavor rosho. L'asot yamim she'achar melot k'yamim she'lifnei melot. Number one, when it comes to ta'ar, the shaving, also it says the exact same thing. It also says the word kol. Vitu, and additionally, when it comes to the wine. Kol yimei nizro mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin. Again, what would you assume the kol is coming to say? La'asot yamim shlachar milot ki yamim shlifnei milot. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense why he would distinguish, if you use the word kol as your key word, it would seem to distinguish. So then they say, no, you were mistaken in thinking that the kol is where he gets it from. The answer is, top of Tevav Amud Aleph, Shane hacha de'amar rachmana v'timei rosh nizro. Because it says in Mitame, the head of his nezer, of his nizirut, so they say, what's the connection between v'timei rosh nizro? Why does it mention his head in the context? Just could have said v'timei yimei nizro or something like that. They learn that Mishin Nizro Taloilo Birosho. And someone whose hair is, whose Nizirut is dependent on his hair, meaning he hasn't yet done the shaving process, that's where the Pasuk relates to the Tuma. Okay, the whole Pasuk is, V'chi Amut Meit Alav Bepeta Pitom, if a mate happens to all of a sudden die on him, and he didn't realize, right, that it was coming, and he didn't protect himself. Vitime rosh nizro, and he was mitame, the head of his nizirut. And then it says what to do. So now they're saying, you see the connection between tuma and the tiglachat. So therefore, if he still hasn't done the shaving yet, and he's mitame, then he has a din d'oraita of, and he gets isurim malkot. But the other things not. Now they say, wait a minute. So this was all Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's opinion, right? Now they're going to say, we have a big problem with your opinion from a braita. What does it say? Nazir shakalu leyamav, exactly our case, right? Asur legalech ulishtot yayin ulitameh lemeti. Okay, so far so good, right? We know it's asur to do all those things. Ve'im gilech v'shata yayin v'nitma lemetim. What if he does do any one of these three things? Harezah sofeget ha'arbaim. He gets malkot. So here you see an explicit braita where it says if he does any of those things, he gets malkot, which seems to contradict what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says. Gemara says, Tiyuvta, it's a good question on him. He doesn't have a good answer. Again, whenever you have a braita that contradicts an emora, the emora kind of has a problem, right? Again, you can always say maybe there's another Tanaitic opinion, maybe there was a different braita, maybe there was some way of explaining it. In this case, it's very hard to read the braita any other way than it's read, so you can't really misread the text, you know, change the reading of the text. But you would, you know, the only thing you could possibly answer to him is if you could find some other Tanaitic source to back him up, which obviously they didn't find, so they didn't bring it. Okay, we're starting now with the Mishnah on Tevav Amud Aleph. This is going to be somewhat of a continuation of the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Bet. Okay, so maybe we should even start at the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Bet and then go back to here so that we get it straight. Hareini Nazir Vin Nazir. Okay, if you start saying I'm a Nazir and then you say Vin Nazir K'shieli Ben, and I'm going to be a Nazir when I have a son, Hitchil Monet Shelo, and then within the 30 days that he's counting, Achar Kach Nolad Lo Ben. And then he has another son. Then his son is born. Mashlim et shelo v'achar kach moni et shel bano. Since he started with, I'm going to be a Nazir. And then he said, and I'll be a Nazir when my son is born. So if his son is born within the 30 days, he just continues his 30 days that he's been doing, and he does the Nazirut of the son second. Because anyway, he said he was going to do it second. Hareini Nazir kashiyeli bein v'nazir. But what if he says it in the flip order? I'm going to be a Nazir when I have a son, and I'm going to be a Nazir. So let's say he starts, Yitchil mone et shelo, v'achar kach nolad lo ben, meniach et shelo, u'mone et shel beno. So he stops his count in the middle, and he counts the son's count, v'achar kach mashlim et shelo, and then he goes back and finishes his own count. Okay? So now we're going to have some other cases here. Hareini Nazir, l'chishi yeheli ben, vin Nazir me'ayom. Let's say he says, I'm going to be a Nazir when I have a son, and I'm going to be a Nazir for 100 days. So now, obviously, what does he start doing? 100 days, because his son isn't born yet. Nolad lo ben ad shivim, lo hivsid klum. Okay, if he has a son until within the first 70 days, lo hivsid klum. Okay, what this means is not clear. Okay, there's two major ways of understanding this, that either it means that lohifsi klum sounds like he doesn't miss anything. So what does that seem to indicate? Let's say he does, right, he does 0 to 70. Okay. He does 0 to 70 of the first 100 days. Now he has the last 30 days left. So he starts here. His son is born. So he starts counting his nazira right at this moment. So some people say lohifsi klum means they overlap. He does until day 100, and he does from 0 to 30 within the same exact days. And that's why it says, lo hifsid. He really loses out nothing because they get absorbed within. Okay, that's one interpretation.
It brings how many korbanot at the end?
So then he would bring double korbanot at the end. He would do, obviously, one shaving, and he would do double korbanot at the end. Now, what if... another interpretation is that, no, he stops what he's doing. He does 0 to 30, and then when the 30 is over, he does from 71 to 100. Okay? Because lo yifsi klum means he doesn't have to start all over again. Okay? But la'achar shivim soter. Now, here's a bit of a different girsa, and it's going to depend on what your interpretation was in the first one. Either soter shivim, okay? Now, or just soter. So let's go with the first interpretation, okay? So let's just read to the end. If it's la'achar shivim, soter, she'ein tiglacha pachot mishloshim yom. Okay, so what would this mean? If it's after 70, in which case you can't totally overlap because there's not enough days left to overlap, so what do? So it's soter, meaning, soter not meaning it erases. Usually we say it erases. Remember with the Nazir, if he gets a melame, it's soter, hayabim reshanim. Here you'd have to explain it. It doesn't mean soter. And that's why it doesn't say soter shivim, according to this nusach. He doesn't erase his 70, but soter means he takes a break. So he takes a break from the 70. He counts 0 to 30. And then he would count, let's say he's up to 80. Okay, so 0 to 80 first. Then he counts 0 to 30. And then he counts...
So he has a korban here.
Sorry, then he would count an additional... He would count from 80 to 20... But he would add another 10 days to fill out the 30 days. Okay? That's that interpretation. He'd have to have an extra 10 days because otherwise he wouldn't be able to shave from the... Right. So then it would seem like he would bring korbanot at the end of the 30
and shave
because otherwise it doesn't make sense to say ain't tiglacha pachot mishloshim yom because clearly he's got hair growth from day zero, from the very beginning. He's got at least 100 days. So... It must be that he does 0 to 30. It's totally independent. He shaves. He does everything. And then he finishes up, counts the last 20, plus he has to add more and wait around until his hair is long enough. That's one interpretation. According to the one who said that no matter what, they don't overlap, and you do 0 to 30, then you do 70 to 100. So you'd have to say if it's after Shivim, then soter shivim, it would be cancel the whole thing. You'd have to start your 0 to 100 from the beginning. She'ein tiglacha pachot mishloshim yom.
And you presume okay?
After you do the 30, right. But I think, one second, I want to check one thing. So I think, 1 second. Something now 100%. 1 second. Someone's born with fewer than 30 days. That's actually okay. I think it's right. Okay, so now I'm a Rav. So Rav immediately says here a statement that the Gemara is going to have a lot of trouble with. Shiv'im Yom Shiv'im Ole Lekan Ulekan. Okay, the 70th day itself. So let's go back to our case where you have 0 to 70. So now they're going to say the 70th day itself counts for both the 100-day Nazirut, right? When you're, let's say, and it's the first day of the 70th already counts as the first day. So now if you go with the concept that they overlap and that you can do the overlap of all the days together, okay, so here it's 0 to 30, and it's 71 to 100, okay? So now, if you count day 70 as the first day, okay, what will happen? Really, it's from 70 to 99. And the assumption is that on the 99th day, you finish your Nazirut, and on the 100th day, you bring the Korbanot, which is different from what we learned before, which is generally, right, what we say, you have to fill all the 30 days, and then you only bring the Korbanot after. So what he's saying is Yom Shivim Ole Lekan Ulekan. And the Gemara says, if that's what you want to say, the Yom Shivim Ole Lekan Ulekan, which means you really be finished on day 99, and then your day 100, you could already bring your Korbanot, so it doesn't match the words of the Mishnah. Because Tnan Nolad Lo Ad Shivim Lo Hifsi Klum V'isal Kadatach Ole Lekan Ulekan Itaguri Mitagar. It should be not Lo Hifsi Klum, it should be your Marviach, you gain. In other words, what do you gain? You gain this extra day because you can already do your korbanot already on the 100th day. So what Rav is saying, right, that the 70th day counts already as the first day of the 30 days, in which case the assumption is when those 30 days are over on day 99, you can then do your korban on the 100th day. You're actually gaining. And the lo ifsi klum doesn't seem to match the lashon according to Rav's interpretation. So the Gemara answers now with kub, why? Ela bedinhu de lo litne ad shivim. Didn't mean to say ad shivim lo ifsi klum, but why did it say it like that? Mishum de katani seifa achar shivim soter shivim katani resha shivim. In other words, it was just comparing it to if it's after shivim, then it's soter. So if it's before shivim, lo ifsi klum. But it wasn't relating to the fact that you're marviach this extra day. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily contradict. But now they're going to bring another problem. Tashma. Miseifa. Look at the seifa. What does it say? Nolad achar shivim, sotir shivim. If it's after the 70th day, then it cancels the 70, right? Or however you interpret it, right? Whether it cancels or it just stops it. My achar. Oh, so now what's the problem here? They don't explain it. I have to explain it to you. What's the problem? If the 70th day is ole lekan ulekan, and the whole issue is we want them to be able to overlap and be a full 30 days, well then let's say it was day 71. If day 71 counts lekan ulekan, then you can say, instead of it being from 70 to 99, like Rob said, it should be also from 71 to 100 should work. And then also the days would overlap. And if they'd overlap, then it would be okay. So why did it say ad shivim? It should have said, right, why should it say achar shivim? Achar shivim, it should be achar shivim be'echad. So now they say, my achar, achar, achar. Okay? It means really 2 days later. Aval achar mamash mai. So now they say, wait a minute. So if it's really 71, what should be the case? Hachanami delo satar. Ihachi my iria detane nolad ad shivim lo ifsi klum. Afilo achar shivim nami. Now they're basically saying, it doesn't make any sense to say that. It should have said, right, until shivim be'echad. It shouldn't, right, the whole mission doesn't make any sense according to that. So what do they say in the end? Ha'amarta lo satar. right? And didn't you say there lo satar if it's a harsh, right? If it's before shivim, but it should have said before shivim bechad. So elash mamina achar mamash. It really must mean after shivim, meaning 71 doesn't work. Bechem matnitin l'rav. This is a very weird lashon. What it really means is the matnitin is kasher l'rav. In other words, our mishnah doesn't go with Rav's opinion. Now, the Gemara could have simply answered here, which it answers in other places, which is that Rav was in the generation between the Tanaim and Amoraim. And he has special status because he was the biggest rabbi of their generation. Him and Shmuel, except that he has higher status than Shmuel because it never really says it's about Shmuel, but it says about Rav in many places, Rav Tana Hu Upalik. He has status of a Tana and he can argue on Tanaim. So even though we always say Amoraim can never argue with the Tana, we can say Rav has his own opinion. Here they don't do that because they actually have a Tanaitic source to back him up. But if they didn't, they could have just said that simply. But I guess they don't want to do that unless they have no choice. So now they're going to say that Rav obviously doesn't hold like our Mishnah. So now they say, V'Rav Kiman Amra L'Shmate. So who does he hold like? Elam Ake Abba Shaul. Maybe he holds like Abba Shaul, and then they're going to reject it. Okay, so in the meantime, let's see what Abba Shaul is and why we think he's holding like Abba Shaul. So remember, what's he saying? That Yom Ashivim Ole L'Kan U'L'Kan, what's that based on? The principle of Miktsar HaYom Kikulo, right? Which means it counts as the 70th of the first count, and now it's going to count as the first one of our new count, which now our new count, which is from basically 71 to 100, is going to actually start, right? And as we have two counts going on here. We're counting from 1 to 30, on the right, from the new Nizirut that he took on for his son, and we're also counting from 71 to 100. So what we're basically saying is, after the morning of day number 70, right, we're going to say, Miksareon Kikulo, we already finished the 70th day, so now we're going to start day 71, which corresponds to day number 1, on the same day, right? You follow? On day 70. And everything's going to end one day early. That's Rav's opinion. Which, again, the Gemara rejected because the Mishnah clearly doesn't indicate that you can do it on day number 99. Otherwise, it would work, right? It would work also if it happened on day 71 and not day 7. So anyway, Rav is going to hold based on this principle of Miktsarei Yom Kikulo. So now we're going to say, oh, he must hold like Abba Shaul, Miktsarei Yom Kikulo, not in our issue, but in Dinei Avelut. Ditna, ha-kovert meto, shlosha yamim kodem laregel, b'telami menu gzerat shiva. Okay, if you bury your dead and start your shiva 3 days before the regel, we, by the way, do it, right, even if it's a day or an hour, right, as long as there's some sort of time of avelut, but in this mission it talks about 3 days, b'telami menu gzerat shiva. So if you've already sat shiva 3 days, then the regel comes, you no longer have shiva. You're finished. Shmonayamim kodem larega. Let's say it was 8 days after, so you finished your shiva and you have 1 day of shloshim. Betelami menu gzerat shloshim umutar lesaper erev haregel. Okay, so now there's an interesting halacha because of kvod achag. Since your shloshim is going to end at the regel, we're going to allow you to cut your hair before the regel. Okay, even though technically speaking you're in shiva, you're in shloshim, but since it's ending just before the regel, we're gonna allow you because of kavod yom tov l'saper erev haregel. Not only that, this is very interesting. Im lo siper erev haregel, asur l'saper achar haregel. If you didn't show enough kavod for the regel that it was important enough for you to cut your hair before, then basically your shloshim is going to continue after the regel, because for you, you didn't, right? Really interesting that it's subjective, right? If you didn't treat the regel like it was chashuv enough to cancel your shiva, your shloshim, and cut your hair before the regel, you didn't treat it seriously enough, then we don't allow you to cut your hair after the regel. Okay? You know, it would be a good question as to whether this, technically speaking, your shloshim really does continue, or it doesn't really continue, but we're not allowing you to cut your hair because it's almost like a knas. You know, it would also be, I don't even know, you can look at it, one number one, as a knas, or you can look at it as it's disrespect to the regel if you do it right after the regel. It wasn't, not, you know, you couldn't do it before the regel, so now you're doing it after the regel. So it could be an issue of that.
It's just strange to me that you have kaveret. You would think that since it's part of Aseret Hadibrot, that would trump
Right, the cover for your parents with Trump. But well, it doesn't, because we see it cancel Shloshim, it cancel Shiva. It's the Simcha, and the issue is not the cover for your parents. It's not an issue of kavod, it's an issue of avelut. You're supposed to be in avelut. And when Simcha, you're supposed to be besimcha on the Chag. So you have this problem that you're, number one, supposed to be feeling sad. On the other hand, you're supposed to be feeling happy, and they can't work together. So either you're going to have the Simcha of the regal, or you're going to have the Simcha of avelut. So, right. Anyway, what's interesting here is we don't paskin like this. So we paskin like Abba Shaul. Okay, so we actually don't paskin if you didn't do it before the regal, you can't do it after. It actually does cancel no matter what. Abba Shaul Omer, afilu lo siper kodem haregel, mutar le saper achar haregel. Shekashem shemitzvat shloshan bevatelek zerat shiva, kach mitzvat shiva bevatelek zerat shloshim. Okay? So no matter what, right, it cancels. Okay? Just like the shlosha cancels the shiva, right, and one day after that cancels the shloshim. So my time at the Abba Shaul, lav mishum de kasavar shvi'i ole lekanu lekan, is it not because, as what he says here, what's different about the first opinion is he says even gzeirat shiva mevatela shloshim. He says that 7 days cancel shloshim. Now, how could you say 7 days cancel shloshim? There was no shloshim. Ah, you must say that shloshim starts immediately already. Shiva ends in the morning because mitzvah yom kikulo, and shloshim starts immediately. So it wouldn't be shmoni. You would only need shiva. So is it not because tekasav shvi'i ole lekan ulekan? In which case we'd say, ah, that's the tana that Rav is holding like, right? That the 70th day goes lekan ulekan. So now they say no. Dilma, you don't necessarily need to say the heels like, you can't necessarily say Abba Shaul would agree with him, because Dilma, kan lo ka'amar Abba Shaul, ela ba'avelut shiva de Rabbanan. Avabanazir de oraita lo. Okay, avelut shiva is only midrabanan. We learned this in Moikatan that the avelut, the real avelut, is on the first day, midoraita, and the rest is midrabanan. So when it comes to derabanan, so we can be mekel and say, it's ole lekan ulekan. When it comes to Nezer Doraita, when you're talking about, you said Mea Yom, well then you can't start counting it Ole Lekan Ulekan and say, well really day 70 counts for the beginning of 71 to 100. And you can't do that. So therefore, we don't necessarily learn it from him. So now they're going to suggest someone else. El Arab de Amar Karabi Yossi. Titania, Rabbi, now again, every time they try to hold like someone, they're going to bring in a case from some other situation. Right? They don't have anyone who says it exactly in our situation, otherwise it would be easy. So we try to learn from Avilut. We distinguish Avilut to Rabbanan and our issue, Nazir, is Doraita. So now we have Rabbi Yossi, who's talking about Azava. Okay, what's the case with Azava? There's a few different cases of Azava. There's Azava who sees blood for 1 day. Okay, this is irregular bleeding, not during your menstrual bleeding cycle. So she sees blood for 1 day. What does she do? She has to basically, you know, be shomeret yom kineged yom, it's called, okay? So what does she do? That day she goes to the mikvah, okay? But then she waits out the day, and then she waits a day against the day that she saw blood. So the first day she sees blood. The second morning she can go to the mikvah, but she has to wait that whole day and check, am I going to bleed or not? So she goes to the mikvah in the morning, but she becomes only fully tahora, right? She's called a tful yom at that point. We've seen this in the past. She only becomes tahora when? At sunset, okay? When the sun sets, she becomes tahora. So,
unless, of course, she doesn't.
Unless, of course, she doesn't. Exactly. What if she sees blood later? Okay, so now, let's say she's at the status of tful yom, where she's gone to the mikvah already. So she's lechora tahora, but then she sees blood later. So, we're going to see a situation where shomeret yom kineged yom. Okay, this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Sheshachato uzarku aleha basheni shelah. Okay, what happened? They did the Korban Pesach that day. It was the day of the Korban Pesach, which was her day that she was shomeret. They do the shechita and the zrikat dam. Okay, so while she was tehora, v'achar kach ra'ata. Okay, so now she sees blood. So what's the story? Was she not tahora? Do we say she was tme'ah? Or do we say she was tahora? Because we could say, right, if we say miktsareyom kikulo, then we say, well, she was tahora part of the day. That means she was tahora the whole day. So what do we say here? Harezo eina ochelet. She can't eat the korban pesach because at this point she's tumeah, right? Once she sees the blood, from that point on she's tumeah. But p'tura milasa pesach sheni. She's considered that she was yotze the korban pesach. She didn't eat it, but she was yotze the shechita of it. In which case, she can't do the pesach sheni. Because what? Miksa de yom kikulo. She was Torah part of the day. It was as if she was Torah the whole day. So that's what they're going to say. My time with Rabbi Yossi, lav mishum de kasaver, is it not because of miksa de yom kikulo? So then they say, no, maybe it's not because of that. Mimai, why do you think it's because of that? V'dilma mishum de kasaver, mikan ulahaba hu mitameh. Maybe it's not because of miksa de yom kikulo, in which case this doesn't help us at all for Rav. No, maybe it's because he holds that when you become, right, now it's a big question. We're only dealing with what if the Korban Pesach happened in the middle. But let's say she, right, as Zava, as Mitame, Mishkav, Moshav, and all sorts of other things. What about any Tumot and Tarot that she touched on that day? What's going to be their status? Do we say that, well, yes, she told in the morning she was Torah, but now that we see blood, we can assume there was blood earlier in the day? Or do we say no? We only do it from here on in. In other words, she went to the mikveh at 9 a.m., let's say, okay? And then at 12 p.m., she sees blood. So what happens to all the tumot and tarot between 9 and 12? So maybe Rabbi Yossi holds that when it comes to tumot and tarot, we only treat it mikanu lahaba. When she sees that blood, we're only mitame her from here on in which case it has nothing to do with miksa yom kikulo. It's we don't even treat her as if we look at 9 to 12 as if she was Torah Lagamre. We don't need to use the principle of Miksani Om Kikula. So now they say, wait a minute. If you want to say that he holds the Mikanu Lahabahu Mitameh, that doesn't match what Rabbi Yossi holds elsewhere. When we sever Rabbi Yossi, Hachi, does he really hold Mikanu Lahabahu Mitameh? The Hatanya, when it comes to a Zav, okay, which is similar, right? It's a man who sees a discharge. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zav Ba'al Shtei Re'iyot, if he saw two times, 2 days in a row, Sheshachatu Uzarku Alav Vashvi'i, okay, 1 second, maybe I'm Mechabe Mishnei Amim, oh right, it's a Zav, he could see Shtei Re'iyot either in one day or one day after the other, and then he's considered a Zav and he needs to do this whole process, okay, for the woman it's 3 days, but for the man it's 2 Re'iyot, and then he has to bring a Korban. So let's say he brings his korban, and he does it all on what day? On the 7th day. Okay, now, what happens, right? He needs 7 clean days. And on the 7th day, he already goes to the mikveh in the morning, right? This is different from the nidu, who goes to the mikveh at night after her 7 days are over. But the zav and the zava all go to the mikveh in the morning. Okay? Now, they go to the mikveh in the morning. He does his korban, shechato zrako alav v'shvi'i. V'chein, and also a shomeret yom kineged yom, also the woman who's a shomeret yom kineged yom, who's not even a zava gedola, right? There's zava katana, which is 1 or 2 days. Zava gedola is if she already sees 3 days, and then she needs shevenekim. Okay, so also shomeret yom kineged yom. Sheshachatu v'zarku alav. V'achar kach ra'u. Oh, sorry. The shachatu v'zarku alav is not his korban. I was mistaken. He sees two times, and he brings his, and then he does the korban pesach. I was confused. This is the exact same thing about the Korban Pesach. So, it happens to be his 7th day when they do this Rikah and the Shechita, where he already went to the mikveh in the morning. Or the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, who went to the mikveh in the morning, and then they did the Korban Pesach for her. V'achar kach ra'u, and later in the day they see. Now again, what are you expecting to see? They're Peturim Lassar Korban Pesach, right? But if he holds that it's only, right, the reason you can do the Korban Pesach is because from 9 to 12, we're considering that time as if they're Torim Lagamre. What would we say then, according to what we said now? Any Tumot and Tarot that they touched in that time period, what would be the case? They'd be Tahorim. But that's not what he says. Af al pisha mitam'im mishkav u'moshav limafreya. Okay, anything they sat on or lie down on, okay, would be mitame from before, right? From the morning. Okay, meaning their mikveh didn't help them at all for Tumot and Tarot. But their Pturim ilasa pesach sheni. Okay? So now, what would you have to assume? That what? That? Why does it work then? The Korban Pesach? Because of Miksad Ayom Kikulo, which would prove Rav. In other words, this would be a support for Rav. Remember the setup. They tried to bring him to prove Miksad Ayom Kikulo. They said, no, maybe that's not his issue. Maybe it's because he holds that your Tame, that you're not tamei lemafreya. And then we say, no, it can't be, because this braita shows you are matame lemafreya according to Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, it can't be that Rabbi Yossi holds that. It must be that Rabbi Yossi's principle is mitzvah yom tikulo. And what's the benefit of this source over the earlier one, at least at this point? That it's doraita. Okay? As opposed to derabanan with avelu. Okay? What do you want to ask?
It may be that I'm just not understanding this properly, okay. But I'm having a problem with these proofs, because in the case of Nida and Azava, part of the problem is that you don't know when it's going to happen. Like,
good.
Okay.
That's what the Gemara is going to say. Okay. So hold off. Okay. Or they're going to relate to it. We'll see if it totally answers your question. Okay. So now the Gemara says, the Gemara still wants to say, maybe this is only Durabbanan. So how can you say this is only Durabbanan? This is clearly Doraita, right? So what do they say? My limafreya, mi Durabbanan. Okay, maybe when he says it's mitame limafreya, he doesn't think that mi Doraita is mitame limafreya. He thinks only mi Durabbanan they were mitame limafreya. Okay? And they say, hachinami mistabra. And we can even prove that. Why? To isal kadatach mi Doraita. If they really are mitame mida oraita lima freya, then amay p'turi milasa pesach sheni. Then how could they, right? How could you have that? That they're mitame mida oraita, and yet we say they really weren't tame for pesach sheni? So what do they answer? Lo'olam emalacha tuma d'oraita. No, it really is tuma d'oraita. But why were they matir, this pesach sheni issue? Exactly what Ani said. Tehom d'ziva hitiru. What does this mean, tahom d'ziva hitiv? Yes, zava blood is doraita, but the zava blood we're talking about here was hidden blood. It was tahom. It was blood we didn't even know about. In other words, here we're talking about the blood they see is at 12 p.m. We have no idea, did they see blood from 9 to 12? This is unknown information to us. When they see blood at 12, it becomes clear that there was a possibility that there was blood earlier. But there's no proof that there was, and it's something we don't really understand, we don't know, we have no clue. So in that case, that's not, it's doraita, but it's not typical zava blood or zav blood, and it's going to be treated differently, exactly for what was bothering Ani, that it's unknown. And therefore, what we're going to say is, we're going to say it's mitame lemafreya, but when it comes to the Korban Pesach, we're going to say that they were tahorim, because we didn't know that there was any blood there. So it was unknown blood. So we'll be, you know, we'll kind of, when it comes to the Tumah Tahorah, we'll go one way, but when it comes to the Korban Pesach, we'll go a different way. And that's their answer in the end. We'll stop here for today.